Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today, we are joined by Ali Kimmy, who goes by Allison Kimmy all over social media, and I'm so thrilled to have her with us today. She is a self-love expert and body confidence children's author. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you so much, Jen. I'm so excited to be here.
I am like so fangirling over you. You have a massive following on Instagram and social media everywhere, but it's not your following that drew me in, obviously. It was the messages that you share so transparently about your body and body image, but you have a son and daughter, but it's the images and stories you talk about with you and your daughter and body image that just hit me in that place in my heart that it's just so profound. And I'm just so thankful of what you do and how you share your messages about your body and your story and the impact that you make on everyone who follows you and reads what you put out into the world. So I really, really, truly appreciate you. And I'm thrilled to have you on the show.
That was like one of the kindest things anyone's ever said to me.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's genuine. I mean, it means so much. And I'm really excited to hear more of your story. So why don't you start off by telling us your story of how you got to where you are today doing this work?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to try my best to really be concise because we could go, I mean, you can probably relate. We can go way back, right?
Right.
We could
yes.
go to the beginning. But I'll just say that I've always been a bigger girl. I've always been the tallest. I've always been the biggest. I've always felt like I didn't belong. And growing up in the 90s mostly, I mean, I never saw myself represented anywhere. So I spent the better part of a decade dieting, you know, and just trying to shrink myself at all costs. I think I started my first diet when I was maybe 13. And I spent one whole summer just eating carrots and whatever. I ordered an exercise program off the TV. My mom let me order it. And I did it every day. And I lost like 50 pounds. And I thought for sure, okay, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to get a fresh start. Nobody's going to even know who I am. And guess what, Jen? Nothing changed.
Yeah.
Nothing was really because I still didn't believe that I belonged anywhere. Even though I could go to the Hollister or the whatever was the cool place to buy clothes back then and maybe fit into like one thing in there, it just didn't really matter. So, you know, I continued to shrink and shrink through college. I was engaged to my high school sweetheart. And we were planning our wedding and I had to get into, you know, the tiniest shape possible to fit into my dress. And so I was away at college and I talked about this not long ago, but it's really easy to get into disordered patterns when you're not around anyone. And I went to college by myself. I didn't know anyone. And I was doing things that were just not appropriate, but I didn't know. I thought it was all in the name of looking good in my wedding dress. And so I had gotten down to a ridiculous number for myself. I'm 5'10" and I was under 140 pounds.
Oh my
God. I could fit into a size 2. It still was never enough. And I don't know if you've ever felt that feeling where you're insatiable, essentially. You can't ever get to the point where you're good. And what happened was after I got married, all hell broke loose because I wasn't by myself anymore. And I couldn't keep up with the things that I was doing and the demands I was putting on my body. And I started to gain weight. And
I have to ask, sorry, I love what you're sharing, but I want to interject. Like, so you married your high school sweetheart. So he had seen you. What is his name?
His name is Ted.
Ted had seen you at different phases.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time where he said, "Hey, Ali, are you okay?" Or did that ever
come up? No, and you know what? And we've never talked about this, Ted and I. We should. But he was going through something actually extremely similar. He went to West Point Academy, and he also played football. And he was an offensive lineman. But after a certain point of your football career, you have to lose a ridiculous amount of weight in order to meet the expectations of the Army. So wow, he was in the same position of, I mean, he was literally probably burning, you know, 8,000 calories a day was the amount of activity he did. And he was eating like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So he looked emaciated too. So we were kind of
You guys were both in this cycle together,
in
different ways. That's fascinating.
Isn't it? I never even thought about it till you said that. But literally, like, I'll have to send you a picture of both of us. Like, we look back and we're like, oh my God. Like, but seriously, Jen, like anytime I would go anywhere, everybody would just be like, oh my God, girl, you look so good.
You look so good.
You have to tell me all of what are your secrets? And that just feeds into it, you know?
Totally. I guess really briefly, I've just always been a bigger person and I've never gone through, I mean, I've had some weight loss, but I've never, as so many people who I've interviewed on the show and been friends with, I've never been the big girl that became the small girl and then the big girl again. I've never quite experienced that. I've had, you know, little plateaus, but I've just kind of gradually gotten bigger. And so, I mean, I love and appreciate all stories. And I think I'm really fascinated by stories like yours because I've just, as an adult, have never been thin. I've never known what that feels like. And so you hit this ideal body size too. And yet you were so sick and so unhealthy and no one was pulling you aside and saying, Hey, Allie, what's going on here?
No, not at all. And it's, I think that happens a lot. I think that we're praised for our ability to have self-control and people want to be like us. And that not only feeds into our ego and just this, it just becomes, it's its own animal. It's just really crazy. And I think that people don't quite understand it. It's just so accepted in the diet culture and the way we use words that it's just sort of disguising all this disordered eating and habits, but they're really not what we're supposed to be doing at all.
And when we were growing up, it was, I mean, I don't know exactly how old you are. I just turned 40, but I grew up in the 90s and it was like, you know, Paris Hilton and all of them were like, you know, the women that were Britney Spears, they were all so thin and idealized. And it was like, yeah, this is the body that we have to strive for. There was no Tess Holliday. There were no these other larger role models saying, no, you can exist in different sizes. And what's most important is that, you know, you feel good in your body and stop tormenting yourself. So
I don't think I ever heard that message ever.
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Same. So you guys were planning your wedding and doing these destructive behaviors. Yeah.
Yep. So we got married and then the pounds started to come back because, I mean, clearly I wasn't at a weight that I could maintain naturally. I mean, it was just not something that my body could support without like extreme measures. So I started to gain weight rapidly. And it was devastating. Like everything I had worked so hard for was just out the window. And I spent the next, 6 or 7 years trying to get back to that and never could. But also, you know, we moved overseas. My husband's first station was in Germany. So we moved over there and that's where we ended up starting our family was in Germany. So we got pregnant with Graham and that's my son. He is nine. Just kidding. He's not almost nine. He is nine.
Our boys are the same age. How was your pregnancy and all of that? Were you at a phase in your life where you were being a little bit more healthy or were you still doing restrictive eating?
I just found different ways to control the way I ate. So at that point in my life, I was quote unquote vegan. And I can't remember what that book was. Skinny Bitch or something was the book that it was talking all about being a vegan. And so I read that and I jumped on that train. So there's always something that you can just jump into and find reasons to eliminate entire food groups from your life. So I was a vegan at the time, and I was in a better space, but I was still very controlling over my body. But my pregnancy overall was, I mean, it was easy peasy, very
good.
And I actually was at the military hospital until I was like 37 weeks. And I was kind of a birth junkie too back then. Nice. So I went to the hospital to where you go and you look at things, not tutorial. I don't know.
Like the hospital tour?
Yeah, tour. And I was asking questions and they weren't answering the way I wanted them to. So I switched to a German hospital the next day. And I think I only had like 2.5 weeks left, but I ended up delivering at a German hospital. And in Germany, they're much more like natural and homeopathic.
Yeah. Did you have a midwife then at the hospital?
I had a doula, and then I had a midwife that was with me throughout the labor. But a doctor did come in for the delivery.
Gotcha. But yeah, but good for you. It just shows it's never too late. If things aren't feeling right, never too late.
That's never too late. You should always advocate for yourself. I mean, they thought I was nuts. They're like, you're going to do what? I had to jump through a lot of hoops, but I felt very strongly about it, and I'm glad I did.
Good.
And I think I gained about 60 pounds during my pregnancy. It was
because you were probably eating more.
Yes. Yeah. It was one of the first times that I had a reason why I could eat whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And I did. Yeah. And it was glorious.
How did you feel about your body shifting so dramatically during pregnancy?
I think a lot of women can relate that in pregnancy, you feel just the fullness that you have. There's a reason for it, like a really good reason for it. And it just feels good. It feels good to be filled with life and to be glowing. But then there's that sense of once you do deliver the baby and that it leaves your body, you just feel so empty and like you don't have the purpose to be fuller anymore. And now you just, well, now we're trained to think, okay, well, I got to get my body back now. And honestly, I couldn't get there. I mean, in my head, I'm like, oh, I should just go back, right? It should just go. And I couldn't. So I was like, Ted, let's just have another one. And because I can't get this baby weight off. So we did get pregnant again, which I think to myself now that I'm struggling with, you know, secondary infertility, and I'm like, gosh, that was so easy to just say, hey, let's just do it again, like now.
Yeah, let's just have another baby
let's
right
just
now.
Do it now. Cause like then I was like, let's do it, and like within a month or two I'm pregnant, you know?
What is the age difference between your son and daughter?
20 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you did just like go right back.
And I was like, this weight is not coming off. Let's just get it over with again. And then I'll try again after that.
Wow.
So once I found out I was having my daughter, and I decided to have a home birth with her. So my birth junkieism escalated a little bit.
I love it.
And in between there, I also took my donor training to become a doula.
Oh my goodness. I'm a childbirth educator.
We could certify.
We could go in many different directions. We could talk about birth, but we'll go with body image here, but we'll have to have you back and talk more about birth stuff. But were you still in Germany when you were pregnant with your daughter?
Yes. So I had a German midwife who would come to my house on her motorcycle.
I love it.
She was very cool. And I didn't do any tests. I didn't do anything. And she would bring like her hearing thing that she would put on my belly.
The fetal scope. Yes. So she could hear. Yeah.
Right. So I think I had one or two ultrasounds, but I really did just the very bare minimum.
Yeah. I mean, the culture of birth in other countries, it's not as medicalized as it is in the United States. And home birth is far more common, where in the United States, we're just looking at about 2% of people give birth at home. But if you are a low risk, you know, healthy, pregnant individual, you have other options. So that's great that you had become educated and made the decision that you felt was best for you and Ted and your family.
Yeah, my husband was a little, he was like, are you sure you want to? As we were getting closer, the midwife was like, well, now, if I don't get there in time, let me just tell you what you need to do if the baby comes out. And he's like, and oh, my God.
His eyes probably bugged out of his head. I can picture his face right now, and I wasn't in the room.
Yeah, no, he didn't do much throughout the labor. I have historically very long labors as well. Like my pregnancies are easy, but the labor and the delivery is long, many, many hours.
I'm just popping in to say that I've been where you might be today. Plus size, pregnant, and discouraged by all the negative information online about what it is like to have a plus size pregnancy. Over the past 7 years, as a certified childbirth educator, I've supported thousands of plus-size people during pregnancy, and I've poured all the information I've gained into a guide that will support you. Get the My Plus-Size Pregnancy Guide today at plussizebirth.com. Be sure to enter coupon code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off your guide. You can also get the audiobook version that I recorded just for you. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Now, let's get back to the show.
How did you feel in your body with this second pregnancy?
So with the second pregnancy, I was fuller, but I had started to come into, I think, the beginnings of self-love.
Oh, I love that.
And so I was celebrating my body all the time. I was wearing the bikinis, and but it was still a bit more disguised in diet culture, because I knew as soon as I would have the baby that I would start a cleanse or something like that and start working on getting my body back. So it was the beginnings were there. And I think the beginnings started because, you know, I found out I was having my daughter. And, you know, when you're a woman and you find out you're bringing a girl into the world, I started to think to myself, God, I hope she doesn't have my cellulite, or I hope she's not the biggest girl in the class, and things like that. And that was sort of,
and it's our own internalized fears and what we went through. It doesn't mean that we would ever say that to our children, but it's all this fat phobia that we've grown up with and have believed in and have hated about ourselves. And you want to protect the people you love from those experiences. But I love that you're sharing those feelings and thoughts honestly, because I think so many of us, whether we've had a son or a daughter, can identify with those fears for our children.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of one of the times that your internal thoughts really start to get revealed to you, and just how hurtful they are, not just to maybe your son or daughter, but to yourself, and that you're still believing those things. And I think that was the first clue to me. Okay, there's still some internal stuff that you need to work on. I had spent so long working on the outsides. Any time I achieved what I was going for, nothing really changed. And that was sort of the first clue to me. Okay, maybe I need to start working on the insides, the mental side of it. And so that was my first step into there. And like I said, it wasn't like, okay, let's go all in. Like, I was already ready with my 21-day cleanse after I had my daughter. Like,
I had
her at home the next day. I was like, Ted, I need you to take my before picture. I want it to be really good so that my after picture is just like amazing. Like, I still had that in my mind.
Right.
And so really it wasn't until, till we moved back to the States. My husband got out of the military. Honestly, we were going through a really hard time at that time, like our relationship. Yeah. You know, he was getting ready to leave the military, and I don't know if there's any military spouses that listen to you, but when you go from being in such a controlled environment to getting out and being in the civilian world, it's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And so we were.
And you also had two little babies.
I know.
And that's a lot. And moving, not only just getting out of the military and two little babies, but moving back to your home country. Like, these are major life shifts, and then compounding a marriage. I mean, that's a lot.
It was insane. Like, I don't even remember parenting a lot of that. I think it was 2013 and 14. I mean, I'm thankful they were as little as they were, because
yeah, it's just survival.
Yeah, it really truly was. It was just, let's try to figure this out day by day. And really, when we were struggling so much together, was when I started to say, okay, I need to work on myself. Like, I can't change him, but I can start working on me and making sure that, you know, just in case anything happens, or if I could maybe change myself, maybe he'll change too. And that's really when I started to do more reading and personal development and learning what else is beyond just diet and exercise. Like, how can I make myself better? Not just by losing weight. And one of my favorite books I read was The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte. I don't know if you've ever read that, but it was...
No, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it was very eye-opening. It's really about how we're such a goal-oriented society. And instead of thinking about all the things we want to have and do and all that, to really live based on how we want to feel. And when I really sat down and looked at what I was doing with my life, none of it was really lining up with how I wanted to feel, which made a lot of sense to me, which is why I never, even when I achieved the body and the financial things or whatever, I never felt fulfilled.
Yeah.
So it was a really great book. I recommend it to anybody, because it really was the catalyst to me really doing like the big work. The big inside work. It's not easy. You're going to cry a lot. No.
Yeah.
You're going to cry a lot, because I think there is and I don't know if you agree with this, but there's like a grieving process that goes with finding self-love.
Oh, for sure. And it doesn't end. It's a roller coaster, but you have to let go of all these messages and all these beliefs you've had about your body and other people's bodies for your whole life. And that is really hard to separate from. And also this idea that you don't have to restrict food all the time, and that weight gain can be like part of that journey. And that's terrifying, but stepping into it and realizing how much harm. And I mean, I just dieted my way up to a very heavy weight and unhealthiness from dieting. So it's like breaking up with that culture. I mean, it's a true breakup. And with that comes so many different emotions and phases of grief, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you referred to it as a breakup, because it really is. You're breaking up with diet culture, and you're also grieving like your old self, and you're becoming a new self. And I think it really does. I don't know if these thoughts match or if they go together, but I oftentimes, when I'm creating things that have to do with self-love, I refer a lot to birth and birthing language and trimesters and things like that in different words, because there is just an evolution that happens where you're marrying your body, your mind, and your soul into who you're meant to be, and you birth into the person that you were already created to be, but you kind of lost along the way. And I think it kind of all matches together, if that makes any sense.
Oh, so we're like new best friends, because I feel the same way. I mean, the word from my birth, and I had a natural birth and gave birth on my knees at almost 300 pounds, and it changed everything for me. And the word, it taught me that I could no longer hate a body that could do something so magnificent. Mm-hmm. And the word that I used for my birth is transformative.
Yes.
And I feel the journey to loving my body and accepting my body for what it is today is transformative. And it continues to be this big shift in my life and in my belief. But it has deepened and enriched my life in ways that I can't even fully express in words. You know, it's such a shift. But I think we do it in little bits and pieces with the messages that we put out into the world, in hopes that other people will just start to take that first step into believing that they are worthy of going down this journey.
Oh, it's so true. I think when you get that first taste for yourself, you're like, oh my God, everybody needs to come taste this. This is so good. Like, why are we not talking about this? Why does nobody know about this? How come I didn't know about this?
Why didn't anyone say I could have permission to just love myself?
It's true. It's true.
And I'm sure our moms did. I mean, maybe not everyone's mom, but I know my mom and dad tried to give us those messages. But, you know, then there were also, they were dealing with their own diets that, you know, like going to Weight Watchers together, and like my parents
Met at Weight Watchers. Yeah.
Slim Fast. My grandmother always had the Slim Fast shakes going every time I was over.
Yeah, so it's such mixed messages. So at that time, you were going through your own journey. When did you start writing and blogging and publicly talking about it?
I didn't really even know that this world existed until I started working for a startup plus size fashion company. It's not around anymore, but it's called Society Plus.
Oh, yeah. No, I know of it. Yeah.
I worked there as blogger relations. And so I started meeting all these women and working with them and helping them curate collections and things. And I was just started to follow them. And I'm like, oh, my God, look at her. Like,
yeah,
she's big and bold and beautiful. And she's just living life. Like,
and what year was this?
This was 2015.
Yeah, so right. I mean, obviously the, you know, fat acceptance movement has been around for a very long time, but then it became like this body love.
Right. So this was,
you know, with Jess Baker and other people were coming.
I would say 2014 to 2015 was really the buzzword started to come out. Now the wave didn't really start until maybe a couple years after that.
But right.
There were the original activists that were already starting to talk about it, which is, you know, you and I both know that that's where it started. That's what it was always supposed to be. But I started to follow these women, these big, beautiful women, all shapes and colors and sizes. And I was like, oh my gosh. First of all, didn't even know there were all these different store options for me to shop at that I didn't have to try to fit into a size in the straight size store. Like I could actually be the size my body wants to be and still have some options to go shopping. Now that was a huge realization and a weight lifted, you know, because I like fashion and I like to be able to have access to fun clothes. And so I started to follow these women and they were so inspirational. And I worked with Jessica Kane and she's one of the first ones to really start talking about it. And so she really inspired me too. And she threw me in front of the camera.
Nice.
I started in marketing and then they needed somebody to model. And so here I am, you know, I'm just starting to learn to like this size 16 body, size 14, 16. I'm a size 18, 20 now. And the one thing I always hated was the cellulite on my thighs. And the first thing she had me do was model shorts. And I was like, wow. Oh my God, really?
Yeah,
we're just gonna put it on the website, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's all. And but you know what? I'll tell you what. If you do things like that, if you challenge yourself to really just, and I know it's not for everyone, but for me, it's the fastest way to get over a fear is to just face it dead in the face. Because you, when you do it, you realize, oh, okay, well, I didn't die.
Right.
I'm still here. I'm not completely humiliated like I thought it was. It really wasn't that bad.
No. And then to be in a supportive environment when you take that first step, like for me, it was boudoir photography with a group of women who were all postpartum moms. And it was like, this is so terrifying. And then we're just cheering one another on. Yes. And then I'm running around in my underwear, which I would have been horrified to do, and then having photos taken of my body. And it was so, like, my word for that experience was liberating.
Yes.
So shorts. But then it was going on a website. I mean, I at least had control of my photos and I put them on my own website. But you were here, you were not only like putting on shorts, having other people see your body, but then knowing that it was going to go on the internet.
Yeah.
That's going full in.
Oh, yeah. No, diving into the deep end. Back. I'm like, and like, it was like my second day, so I'm not going to say no to my boss.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Sounds great. Inside, I'm like, oh my God, please no.
What did it also feel I have to ask for someone to ask you to be a model? Because I feel like that is another layer of it too. That must have felt really great, but then also conflicting at the same time.
Oh, I mean, I certainly didn't have the confidence to be a model at all. I mean, when she first said that, I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, you're like my human Barbie doll. Like, you're tall and you're just like perfect. And I'm like, what?
And you're gorgeous.
What are you talking about?
But you don't see yourself in that way in the beginning of learning to love yourself. Yeah.
No, not at all. And I think really, like, and I think that that's why, you know, plus size bloggers do have a lot of fun with taking pictures, because you actually get to see your body in a creative way. You know, it's not just, oh my God, look at the size, or look at the visible belly outline, or look at the rolls, or look at the cellulite, or look at blah, blah, blah. It's like, look at the movement, look at the lines, look at how this flows, or I love the light. And you get you get the permission to just be a creative, which is very exciting. It's very fun. It's very, like you said, liberating. But yeah, I definitely did not expect to be thrown in front of the camera. And that certainly helped me get over a lot of my body image insecurities, for sure, hands down. And it also opened me up to really learning more about this community that I didn't have a clue even existed. So when we parted ways, and it was all on good terms, and I decided to just start sharing my own journey. I did not expect anything really to happen. I just kind of wanted to get on the internet, and, you know, a lot of the people that I had worked with through Society Plus, they weren't moms, and, you know, they had a different story. And so, you know, I knew that there really wasn't a lot of representation for plus size moms out there. So I kind of just wanted to show up and be something a little bit different.
And what year was this that you started?
This had to have been the beginning of 2015, but I don't think I really started to get serious about it until 2016.
Okay. And then what did you start with, your blog or Instagram?
No, I just went straight to Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah. And and to this day, I don't ever plan anything of what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Which, like all the business bloggers and Instagram people will say, plan it out like 2 weeks in advance. And I'm like, I just can't. I know I should, but I just can't, because I talk to my mom like almost every day, and she's like, I just don't know how you do it, Allie. Every time you write something, it's just, how do you come up with stuff all the time?
But it just flows, don't plan it, because you're so good, because like your images, and I love that you said that you struggled so much with your cellulite and your legs. And now if you go to your Instagram feed, like it is full of your legs, your gorgeous legs. But when you see the image, and I'm the same way, like I think that's why I don't post as much on Instagram, because I'm so intentional with when I'm ready and what I share, and it's meaningful. And I don't pre-plan a lot, because what we share, it flows out of us, and it means something to us to put it out into the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you just started doing some postings. Yeah. This was long before they had stories on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just
long before the
sharing
stories.
There were 1 minute. You could do, no, seven, was it 15 seconds?
Yeah,
you could do a video,
like
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very short.
Was
I remember
very
I,
short.
Many takes to be able to get a sentence out.
Yeah, that was still in the time where like people were on Snapchat a lot. So it was like, do you do the stories on Snapchat and Instagram, or are you just film in one place, or do you save them from Snapchat and then upload them to Instagram? It's been a long
what
haul.
Was, What was the initial reaction when you started sharing yourself so bravely and transparently?
I mean, that's the only thing that keeps me going. Not that I don't love it. I do love it. But it's the reactions. It's the comments. It's the messages that I get that literally I never thought in my head. Like, just by showing up just as me, just doing me, you know, just do you, like I say in every single post, that would trigger somebody else to say, okay, maybe I can too. And so when I started to just share little bits of my body, and one thing that I'm known for a lot is sharing, like, I don't want to call them reverse transformations, but when I show that when I was like a size 2-4, and then now I'm an 18-20, and show the progression of the mental side of how much happier I am living in a larger body. And that really messes with people a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, yeah, because we're so used to the reverse of
right.
before and after, but you're showing you at a very thin and then your current body and that you're happier in this body you now exist in. I love that message that you share. And I'll put some of your Instagram photos in the show notes, but I really, really encourage people to go follow you at Allison Kimmy on Instagram.
Thank you. Yeah. So I think I started sharing those like once a week and people just started to stop by and you know, they were inspired by that and confused at the same time. Like I said, like how can that be? How can you be happier? And that was really at the start of when self-love and body positivity became more mainstream. So we started to talk about it more. And this is like late 2017, right?
Yeah.
And what I also started to talk about was, you know, conversations that I would have with my daughter and my son about bodies.
Yeah, that's where I love all your content, but when you go there as a mom, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so, like, it speaks to me on such a deep level, and it's a reminder and that I need to keep working harder, and it's so good.
Oh my gosh. Jen, they are so smart. Let me tell you a story that I haven't even written about yet. It's kind of a funny story. This happened yesterday.
Yeah. I'm excited.
You know, Campbell's not feeling well. So she's laying on the couch and I'm down on my knees and I got my head like in her face because I'm like resting on her. And she's like, Mama, why are your eyebrows brown and your hair is white? And I said, well, because my hair color probably is more the color of my eyebrows, but I get it colored. And she said, she paused for a couple seconds and she's just thinking about it. And she's like, well, then how come you're not just doing you? And I was like, oh, she got me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And then I felt myself just like going in circles on how to answer that one. Like I even had to like take a second stab at it. I'm like, Campbell, let me try that again. She had moved on. She's like, Mama, whatever.
Yeah.
They're so smart. Like they listen to everything that you're saying, whether you're feeding their minds with body positivity and embracing themselves and everyone else around them, or if you're talking bad about yourself, they're going to hear it. They're going to internalize it and they're going to remember it.
But I love how you said, let me try that again, because we're not always going to get it right. Like, obviously, there's nothing wrong with coloring your hair and it's a part of loving yourself
right.
and self-expression. But it's also you're changing something that's naturally about yourself. So I love that she viewed that and addressed that. And yeah, it is something to talk about.
Know.
But it's okay if we don't get it right. But what matters is that we keep trying to find the words and to keep following that and to keep being mindful of our own self-talk and what we're saying negatively, because they're always, like you said, listening and picking up on it.
Always. Yeah, I think we ended the conversation something along the lines of that when you get a little older, you can decide, you know, how to creatively express how you feel about yourself. And sometimes that's through your clothes or through makeup or other means of decoration.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a hard one to answer because I'm like,
yeah.
Because I like my blonde hair.
Yeah, totally. And you rock it. But yeah, being called out. They do love to call us out.
They do. But again, like that is at the core of what I do. I love speaking to women. But honestly, it's really because they're a conduit to the next generation, because I'm really passionate about my daughter and her generation and the next generations not having to do the work that we have to go through to undo the mess that diet culture has done to us, but to really grow up in a world where they can be who they are. And I truly, for one of the first times, I feel like we're getting there. And it's really, really exciting, don't you think?
Oh no, I'm seeing the shift. I mean, I do a lot of work in healthcare advocacy, and I was even speaking to a pediatrician this week about their views around, you know, the Curbo Kids Weight Watchers app, and that, you know, that goes against what the AAP, like the American Academy of Pediatrics, says around, you know, introducing food restrictions and calories to kids, that it's not beneficial. And mm-hmm. and the pediatrician wrote out these bullet points addressing that and everything they said, and I'm going to have them on the show. I was like, ooh, I like you. Like, can we have all pediatricians like see this the way you see it? And what I love about the work that I do along with body positivity, but healthcare advocacy, is that really the basis of most of the work that I do and the basis of the responses in that email are all evidence-based. Mm-hmm. So it's not only something we intuitively know, right. It's also we have studies to show that we should be eating intuitively and we shouldn't be restricting our kids around food and saying that foods are good or bad. Like, we intuitively know how to take care of ourselves. Society has stripped us of this intuition and we're just trying to gain it back.
Absolutely. You are on the money with that one.
So, I mean, you have like almost 200,000 followers on Instagram. When did it go from you sharing these messages in the first before and after to your first like big viral boost moment?
I think my biggest year was probably 2017. That was when I went viral for a lot of things. The before and afters, the glitter stripes conversation with my daughter about stretch marks, and the everybody has fat conversation I have with my daughter, where she called me fat. And then also like a few weeks later, somebody called her fat, and she, you know, used that conversation we had had about how everybody has fat and everybody has different amounts of fat and that it's okay to have fat. And so that was probably the biggest year where these conversations, you know, showed up everywhere. And then now and then, you know, sometimes I'll get included in some like BuzzFeed articles that have lists of, you know, who to follow and those kinds of things. But, you know, I will say that is probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's a lot more people in the space than there were 2 years ago. And that's a really good thing, but it's also a little bit different because some people are co-opting, obviously, the movement for their own reasons and are not necessarily fully understanding. And I know that this probably is not where we'll go with the conversation, but, you know, there's such a big difference between self-love and self-confidence and body positivity. And they're just really sort of mushed together right now. And I don't know if they'll ever, you know, clear up and be their own, you know, go in their own lanes and really be body positivity, be really respected as the political movement that it became or that it started as. But right now, there's a lot of people in this space trying to be heard. And unfortunately, what happens is all of the marginalized people that came into this movement to begin with, who it was created for, are kind of being silenced, you know?
Yeah, and now we're seeing the rise of a hashtag, you know, fat liberation and fat acceptance again, which was started in like the 70s of like, no, like body positivity, yes, like everyone, great, love yourself, do the things. But, you know, if you go to body positivity, I even was going on Instagram for a GIF and it was all physical activity related. Yes. It was all like hearts with weights, you know, and all that stuff. I'm like, no. Like, yes, we move your body in ways that feel good.
Right.
But it's all about like, no. Like, I, as a person of size, am deserving of dignity, respect, health care, the love, ability to work in a workspace and not get fired because of my size. Like, that is the basis of the work that I do, that Allie does, that so many people in this space do.
Yeah, it's really just, you know, the oppression that a person of size faces. And that's why it's really difficult for some people to understand why it is so different. And that's because, you know, you and I don't experience the world the same way as a straight size person does. And life in some ways is more difficult. And, you know, you don't have the same opportunities to just walk into a store and find that thing that we were looking for, or like you to find a chair that you can sit in and be comfortable. You know, it's just not as easy as that. And coming from a person who has been all of the sizes, I have experienced that firsthand. Like, I know what life is like as a 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, even 12. And I know what life is like as a 14, 16, 18, 20. And it is very different.
It is. It is. And that's not to say that Ellie and I aren't like, heck yeah, body positivity. We love it too. Like, we believe in it. Absolutely. But there still has to be this activism charge moving forward. Otherwise, we're not going to see, as we just talked about, you know, 5 minutes ago, these shifts in healthcare and the way our kids are being treated by their pediatricians. And I mean, I was talked about my weight in ways that made me feel terrible by my doctors when I was little and as recent as 2 years ago. So we have to continue to push forward in other ways. And there is space for everyone in this grand pool, but we need to make some big splashes to raise awareness.
Yes,
it's kind in ways of like, that might make some people uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's kind of like when that hurricane came. Oh, which one was it? It was this past year. And we all thought it was going to like it was going like full force. And then it like hung out. It's kind of a weird analogy. It like hung out over, what was it, the Bahamas, like for a long time. Was that where it was?
Because you're in Florida, right? Yeah. So you're on aware of all these things.
Here's like body positivity and self-love is just like ramping. It's like zooming. It's like growing in speed. And then it just kind of, it's like a little bit like slowed down. Like it's big, but it's a little bit slowed down because it's kind of watered down right now. And we're sort of missing, I think, in my opinion, I think we're sort of missing some of that activism part of it. But it's still there. We just need to keep highlighting those people that are doing that hard work of saying the things that are harder to say and being in the bodies that are harder to be in to say, I'm going to show up in this body and I'm going to love this body. And I don't really care what you think about this body.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do that so well. I want to go back to something you said really quickly, because I'm sure people are like, what is the glitter and stretch marks? Can you tell us? Because I love it. I want you to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this was like a couple years ago. My daughter and I were at the pool and she was looking at my stomach and she said, what are those lines? And she was referring to my stretch marks. And I told her, you know, that they were stretch marks and that, you know, I got them when I grew and when I had her in my belly. And she asked me, she's like, well, when can I get some? And and I said, well, I'm sure you'll get some eventually. And she ended up naming them. So she noticed that they were kind of shining in the light. And so she said, they're so glittery. And so we ended up renaming them Glitter Stripes. And that post was like one of my biggest posts I ever made. And just so I started to work on, I wrote a children's book and about Glitter Stripes, which was really fun and exciting. And then I found Full of Freckles, which does this really fun fat positive illustrations. And so we've been working together to really bring that to life. So it's actually not available yet, but it will be in the very near future.
I love Full of Freckles.
And yes, it took me over 2 years to make that happen, but you know.
Wow. So over 2 years now, you guys have both been working. I love her work. I'll link it in the show notes too.
Oh, it's so good, right?
Yeah, and that you two are collaborating on this. I'm so excited. It's going to share it all over.
She just makes such happy artwork. I love it.
Yeah, body positive, beautiful bodies. And you can send her a picture of you and she'll turn you into artwork too. I love that.
Yes, she will. And she does a really good job at it.
That's so cool. So you have the children's book coming out and what else is in the works right now for you?
Oh goodness. There may be another book in the works, but I'm not sure yet. We're still kind of working out the kinks on that one. I'm going to be doing a few photo shoot campaigns. So you might see me around in other places than just Instagram. I'm hoping to be on a lot more podcasts talking about these types of things like we are here. And really just doing things that matter to me and being really intentional about spreading the message of self-love and just how liberating and how freeing and how much you're really missing out on life when you're not truly embracing who you are. and yeah. just helping people live a more fulfilled life, and to then be that conduit and to share that with the next generation and to just help them grow up in a different space than we did.
I so appreciate all that you do. I would love it if before we end, you could share a few tips for moms that are struggling on their own self-love but want to raise their kids to be body positive. What are some things that you would tell to that mom?
Sure. There's a few things I'd love to tell that mom.
I bet.
First thing I would say, which I always love to say, is that it's not your fault. It's not your fault that you feel the way that you feel about your body. There's a multi-billion dollar industry that profits off of you not feeling good about yourself. And so just let that fall off of you. Let that guilt fall off of you that you feel the way you feel about yourself. It's completely normal and it's not your fault. But the next thing you need to do is you need to get really curious about why do I feel this way? And usually for most of us, it's going to go way back to when we were kids or things we experienced through grade school and these limiting beliefs that we adopted, you know, mostly from survival mechanisms as we were growing up that we just carried with us to adulthood, things that were decided for us that we didn't even get to decide on. And so, you know, I always encourage the people that I work with to just really take a hard look at why do I feel the way that I feel about this? Yeah. And another thing I like to do is to ask people, what is this costing you? What is the cost of not loving yourself? What are you, not just monetarily, like not just the thousands of dollars you probably wasted on, like myself, on diet and exercise crap, but like the moments that you're missing out on, the pictures that you're not in, the vacations you didn't take, the beach trips that you sat on the blanket the whole time. I'm talking about the relationships that you're not exploring, like those things. Like, what is it costing you? And is it worth it? Is it worth it to continue on not finding that love for yourself? Because I can guarantee you the answer is no, it's not worth it. And the last question is, who's profiting from me feeling like this, right? Like, who's winning? Am I winning? Do I win from feeling like this? Or does, like, you know, Weight Watchers win, you know? So I want to win, right? Don't you want to win, Jen?
Heck yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm all in. And then I
another
be a winner.
Thing is, like, when you're having those thoughts, even if you don't say them out loud, ask yourself, would I say this to my child? Because if you wouldn't, you shouldn't be saying it to yourself. Right?
Yeah, I bring that up a lot. And also with healthcare advocacy, you wouldn't put up with a pediatrician shaming your child. So why do you allow a doctor to do that to you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't have a child, you know, would you say it to little Jen or little Allie? No, you wouldn't. Yeah. And then to stop waiting on the weight.
Yes.
Life is just going to keep going. And I think obviously with current events, we can all understand that, you know, tomorrow is not promised. And it would just be a real shame to let, you know, those last 15 pounds, or hey, maybe it's 100 pounds or 200 pounds, stop you from living your life. Because I promise you, your weight, losing weight or gaining weight, doesn't make you a different person. It truly doesn't. And your family is not waiting for you to lose weight. They're just waiting for you to show up and hang out with them. That's all they care about. And also to just follow the positivity. Just, I mean, if you're here right now listening to this podcast, you're doing one of the things already, right?
Yeah.
Filling your brain with new ideas. You're challenging the way that you used to think. And you're allowing yourself to experience something that gives you a glimpse into what life could look like if you did decide, hey, I'm worth it. I'm worthy of love and respect and opportunities. And so to fill your feet up wherever you like to go, whether it's podcasts or Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and just find those positive people that you can follow, that you can get encouraged by, and let the way they live encourage you to start trying some new things in your life.
Such great words of wisdom. You are truly the self-love educator that you say that you are.
Aw, thank you.
I have just so enjoyed our time together and hearing your story and your just gems of like, yeah, let's all stop waiting on the wait. And because we're holding ourselves back, but we're also impacting our children when we do that. Yes, so
it's
so powerful. Where can people find you?
Well, mostly you can find me on Instagram at Allison Kimmy, and I show up there pretty much every day, and that's your best bet. You know, if I do anything else, I'll direct you there from my Instagram. So if you show up at AllisonKimmy.com and give me a follow, you won't regret it, I promise.
Definitely not. I signed up for your newsletter and immediately got this great packet of self-love information and worksheets and hearing more of your story. So I definitely encourage people to do that as well. So, Allie, thank you. I hope we're new best friends, and I really enjoyed our time together so much. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Jen. I've had a fabulous time, and I hope that your listeners really get some nuggets to take away from our chat today.
Oh,
and I have to say one more thing. Just do you, babe.
Yeah, that's your tagline, and I love it. I love it. Well, on that note, until next time, bye, friends.
Bye.